Today we're going to read responsively Psalm 30, a psalm of King David, a psalm of sadness and then joy and thanksgiving. And then we're going to hear a story from 1 Samuel. We're not going to read the scripture. I'm going to be telling the story as part of the sermon today. So if you want to follow along, it'll be in 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're going to hear about terrible sadness and about God in the midst of it, and joy and sadness and joy, all part of the message. So we begin by reading together Psalm 30.
In your hymnal on page 762, we're reading responsibly. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you for help, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol. Restore me to life from among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. Surely the Lord's anger is but for a moment, the Lord's favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. As for me, I said to my posterity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you have established me as a strong mountain. In your grace, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. So welcome to our Dove Mountain congregation. And also, I get to say today, welcome to our Lent Alive congregation. So Lent Alive kicks off today in Fellowship Hall at 9:45. One of two modern services we'll have this morning at 9:45 and 11:15 in Fellowship Hall. And the 9:45 service, Lent Alive, this sermon will be projected in there. So welcome to our Lent Alive congregation. I want to take a couple of minutes right now before the message to talk with you all. I wanted to do this in the context of worship so that all of our congregations can hear this. I want to take a couple minutes and talk with you all about our initial response to the flu and especially the coronavirus. You ready to listen for a couple minutes? Okay, pay attention. So my general approach to life is to consider what's reasonable, and this is no exception. There's no need to panic or over-worry, right? We do, though, have vulnerable, fragile people in our midst. We have children, we have elderly people, we have people with medical needs, and we need to consider them as well as all of us. So initially, here is what we're going to do over these next weeks. For right now, we pastors will not be shaking hands or hugging. Now, this is really hard for me, as you know, but we will not be shaking hands or hugging, even if you want to. Okay? We're going to go like this or like this. That's because if we hug or shake hands with a few hundred people in the morning, we become these carriers, right? You hug our faces, you shake our hands, we love it. But then we become carriers, so we're going to try to maintain a safe distance to protect all of us. So that also means no hand-holding during our closing blessing. Other than with the person you came with, perhaps. We also encourage you to maintain a bit of a distance with each other. That way, we can all continue to worship together and stay healthy. Today we're going to have Holy Communion. We're taking extra precautions, extra hand sanitizing for preparers and servers, larger pieces of bread so that when you dip into the cup, you won't get your fingers in. That's the goal here, right? You just dip the tip of your bread in the cup, just a little tiny bit. You don't need all the juice, right? One pastor was talking about watching somebody take their bread and dip all the way to the bottom of the cup, pull it back out, shake it off. It's funny, but it's not. Okay, so little bit. So then we'll look at some other options for the next Communion Sunday if we need to. Okay, so remember, no overreacting, just reasonable precautions so that we can all continue to worship together. That's all of it. Okay, let's pray. Oh God, it is the cry of our hearts to follow you. It is the cry of our hearts to be close to you. It is the cry of our hearts to follow all the days of our lives. Amen. So I'd like to tell you a story. It's a story that's repeated in Scripture many times, not the exact story, but with the sadness and the joy of it. It's a story that takes place 1,000 years before Jesus. So over 3,000 years ago, and yet it is a story. It's a story. Perhaps not with the exact details, but the story itself that is repeated in many, if not most, of our lives in some way. Listen for the rhythm of sadness and joy. From 1 Samuel. So there was a man who lived in the hill country in Israel. His name was Elkanah. Elkanah had two wives. One wife was named Hannah, and the other was named Peninnah. Now, polygamy was common in that day. Our marriage practices among God's people changed over time. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now, Elkanah used to go up every year to the temple to offer a sacrifice and to worship God so that all would be well with his family and his crops and his herds. He made an annual sacrifice. And on the day that the sacrifice took place, some of the sacrifices, an animal sacrifice, some of the sacrifice would be kept and given to his family. And he gave some of the food to Peninnah and her children. And because he loved Hannah, even though she had no children, he gave her a double portion of the food. Hannah had no children, and it is a great sadness. Peninnah would make fun of Hannah. The scripture says, provoke her severely. How sad is that? To irritate her, yeah, because she had no children. And this went on year after year, year after year, whenever Elkanah was about to make the sacrifice, although I suspect that Peninnah made fun of Hannah all through the year. Therefore, Hannah wept. She wouldn't even eat. And Elkanah, the husband, would say, Hannah, why do you weep? Why don't you eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? Well, no. Sorry. Her sadness was great. It was a great absence to be made fun of. Well, one year, now her sadness is really because of love and longing. She wants a child, not only because it was the thing that women did, but also she loves her husband. She wants to give him a child. She longs to bear and to raise and hold a love a child. Think about our longings, our deep longings. One year, after they had eaten and drunk, Hannah rose at the temple. Hannah rose and she went and she put herself before the Lord. Now Eli, the priest, was there watching her. And Hannah was deeply distressed and sad. And she knelt down in the temple of the Lord. And she was earnestly praying and weeping. And she said, "Oh, Lord of hosts, if only you will give me a child, if you will remember me and give me a child, then I will set him apart for you. I will give him back to you." She continued praying silently, but her mouth was moving. You can picture this, right? Her mouth is moving even though she's praying silently. But Eli, the priest, came to her and he thought she was drunk. He said to her, "How long will you make a drunken spectacle of yourself?" To add to her sadness, as she prays, she is misunderstood. Music! But Hannah answered, "No, I'm a woman deeply troubled. I've not been drinking at 9 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I've been pouring out my soul before God. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for I have been crying to God out of my heart." And Eli was moved and he said, "Go in peace. The God of Israel, may the God of Israel grant your hope." And Hannah's heart was lifted. And she went back and she ate and she drank with her husband. Some of her sadness is lifted just by being heard. Just by being heard. And then they went back home. And during that year, Hannah conceived. And she gave birth to a son and named him Samuel. For she said, I have asked him of the Lord, and there is this great and amazing joy. Remember her promise? Well, every year Elkanah went up to the temple and he said, "Is this the year you're going to take Samuel up to God?" And Hannah didn't want to take him. She didn't want to take him. You can picture this, right? She didn't want to take him. Every year she said to him, "Oh, as soon as he's a little bigger, as soon as he's weaned, I will take him." And finally, Elkanah says, "Well, it's time, probably time to take him." So when she had weaned him, she and Elkanah went to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. Samuel was still young, but she offered him up to the Lord. She said, "Oh, my Lord, as you live, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence, praying to the Lord for this child. I prayed, and you granted me the petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord for as long as he lives." And she left him there to become a priest for God. Picture her leaving that day, her sadness. But before she goes, she sings a song. And it's a song that is repeated later by Mary, the mother of Jesus. It is a song of sadness mixed with joy. Hannah sings, "My heart exults in the Lord. My strength is exalted in my God. There is no holy one like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. The Lord will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked will be cut off in darkness, for not by might does one prevail. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the power of his anointed." And they go home, and they leave Samuel in the care of the priest. And there's a little bit more to this story that's so sweet. Samuel was left there in the care of Eli the priest, and every year Hannah would come up and see him. And during the course of the year, she would make him a little robe. And she would bring him a new little robe each year. As he grew, of course, she would bring him a new robe every time she and Elkanah went up to the temple to offer a sacrifice. And we are told that the Lord took note of Hannah, and she, in fact, bore more children, and Samuel grew in the sight of the Lord. So no one here has a story just like Hannah's, right? But all of us have a piece or a version of her story. a sadness, maybe for countless reasons, of being left out, of being made fun of having a great absence of something in life. Perhaps you longed to have a spouse, but that never happened. Or you longed to have children, and that didn't happen. Or you longed to be able to use your gifts in a particular way. You dreamed of being a concert pianist or something else because you were good at the piano. But it didn't happen. Left a hole in our hearts that causes us to cry out. Sometimes that sadness is because of love. We love, and so we feel sad. And the message of Hannah is that God comes. God comes in many ways. To her, God came in a child, but to us, perhaps that's it. To us, God comes in the face of a friend, in a new job or a new opportunity to learn, a new chance to share gifts, a new possibility, and God relieves our sadness and brings us joy. Sometimes sadness returns, like it did for Hannah. I know some of you in my time here who have lost more than one spouse to death. Sadness returns sometimes, but then God is there again. You see, we can always come. Here's what we learn. Here's what we learn from Hannah. We can always come to God in prayer. There are times when others might misunderstand or deride us, but God knows our hearts. God answers in God's time, and sometimes in ways we cannot imagine. You're thinking of some things right now. Ways that God has come to you in ways that you could never have imagined. Sometimes it is good to stay with our sadness for a bit. Not forever. But not to dismiss our sadness right away. But to stay with it for just a bit. And let God work in it and see what God will do. To wait on God. This is one of the hardest things we do as humans, is to wait on God when we feel sad, when our longings are there. And I invite you to stay for a moment in the sadness. And then we can choose to dwell on sadness or joy. We can choose, like Hannah, to bring a little gift to her son each year. What are the things that we can decide to do with God's help to increase joy for ourselves and for others? You see, both sadness and joy, we know this, are part of life. No one goes through life without sadness. But then there is joy. We can help one another. We can be the presence of God in another's sadness, as Eli the priest was, as others do. The funny thing about this is a resurrection story at the beginning of Lent. Isn't that interesting? You know why that is? Because Lent doesn't count on Sundays. It doesn't. When you count the 40 days of Lent, you don't count Sundays, because even in the ancient tradition, Sundays were always meant to be little Easters. So I have given you today a little Easter, a resurrection story at the beginning of Lent. God longs to bring about a new creation, to make us new, to bring us joy, to wipe away our tears of sadness. The rest of the Samuel story is this. As Samuel grows and the priest Eli grows old, one night the priest Eli Samuel comes to the priest Eli. Samuel hears a voice saying, "Samuel, Samuel," and he runs into the priest Eli, and Eli says, "I'm not the one calling you." And finally, Samuel realizes that it's God calling him, and he says, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am." What about us and the rest of our story? As we come to the table today, I invite you to say, "Here I am. Here I am, Lord." Come to the table. And today, may God lift any sadness you may have and turn it into joy. In Jesus' name. Amen.